Welcome to The Big Picture. I'm your host, Larry Ragland, and it is Thursday night. So that means it is the Kingdom Intelligence Report. And it is the second Thursday of the month. That means we have in the studio with us none other than Ricky Scapero from End Time Headlines. We're going to break down some things that are going around on around the world that is absolutely tied to biblical prophecy. You need to open your eyes. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them as travaileth upon a woman. I think we might be there. We're going to cover that and more tonight on The Big Picture right after this. Well, welcome to The Big Picture, Ricky Scapero. The crowd is going wild.
Please. Everyone, sit down, please.
As Paul Begley would say, get a cup of coffee and calm down.
Yes.
How you doing, Ricky? How's things out there in the great state of Georgia?
I cannot complain, brother. It's been beautiful, but it comes with a price, and it's called allergies. So, it is what it is.
Yes. Well, we thank God. We always want to say this right off the bat. If you don't know who Ricky is, I find that hard to believe if you're watching this channel. But he has been doing this for so many years on YouTube and on the web and so forth, endtimeheadlines.org. And, of course, he's got his app, and we'll put all that in the show notes down below. But you're a source, Ricky, that a lot of people go to in times of breaking news as well as trying to figure out what's going on in the world that we're in right now, because I know you are a student of prophecy, and you know that God's word said that there'll be signs in the earth and in the heavens and the earth beneath, and all kinds of things that we've only heard when we were young men, which wasn't that long ago, because we're still young, but but we heard preaching when we were coming up about the end times, and for a lot of years of my life, it was, I would hear these things that almost seem like impossible. Is Israel really going to be a part of a treaty? How's the whole world going to see the two witnesses? I mean, I go on and on and on, right. But we didn't understand that our final generation that we're now in would have that ability. So let's start off before we delve into the news articles. Just real quick question to you, Ricky. Do you feel like are we in the end times, or is that just a cliche? Is it obvious to you when you look at the signs of the times of where we're at?
Well, to me, I believe it is. I believe it's obvious. Not just to me, but I believe to every watchman, to those who I call them the sons, and we'll say daughters, sons and daughters, the sons and daughters of Issachar, those who have discernment of the times and seasons. The Bible says that as we get closer to the end time or the time of the end, the wicked will be in the dark. They will not understand. They will not be able to comprehend the times and seasons which we're in. But those who have a covenant with God, those who understand the times and seasons which we're in, they're going to be on high alert. They're going to understand. They're going to know these things. Yes, absolutely. I believe that there is so many precursors. There's so many conditioning things that are happening, types and shadows. There's patterns. And we'll get into a little bit of this. We're on a different timetable on God's calendar. Yes. There's God's calendar. Then there's what I call, our calendar, the Gregorian calendar.
Right.
And that's where I think a lot of people miss it. Honestly, in my opinion, is a lot of people think that God is somehow on our Gregorian calendar. He starts his year, he's up there watching the ball drop in New York on December 31st, and then January comes up, and that's just not the case.
At the time of this airing that you're watching this right now, if you're watching it live, is we're on the precipice in just a few hours of a brand new Jewish year beginning tomorrow, and that is Rosh Hashanah, that is upon us now in a new Jewish calendar. And, I even think about in scripture where Jesus is talking about the end times. He said, unless those days be shortened, there shall be no flesh survive. And I've always believed that, quite frankly, that's because it's on the Jewish calendar instead of the Gregorian calendar. Because, there's 1,260 days, first half of the tribulation period, 1,260 days, the second half of the tribulation period, three and a half years, 42 months each side based on the Jewish calendar. And, right. and you can count that out. So it's almost in my mind like he was trying to tell us, hey, if we went by your calendar, they would at the end of that 7 years, seven Gregorian calendar years, there would be so much destruction left, there would be nobody survive. And so I believe that hidden all throughout scriptures is he's trying to tell us you have to go on our calendar. Mm-hmm. So here we are on his time frame. And one of the things he said, Ricky, in scripture that you know very well is that, you know, in the end times, Daniel talked about, you know, mm-hmm. the treaty, and, you know, there's been all kinds of speculation of, you know, what does that mean? But we do know that God has told us to watch the nation of Israel. Keep our eye on Israel, for, you know, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but that's where all this is going down. So the first thing I want to bring in right now, Ricky, is this article that says, let me skip and right over to here to right here. It says, is there a secret plan to merge Gaza and Jordan and the West Bank as part of a normalization agreement between Israel and Saudi Arabia? Now, as I scroll this, Ricky, what have you heard about this, and what does this mean in the prophetic time frame? What is this about a secret agreement between Israel and Saudi Arabia?
Well, the first thing I want to say here is a lot of people, when we talk about, you hear in the body of Christ, especially among eschatological circles or the end times, you hear about this 7-year treaty, this 7-year peace plan. And of course, we get that from Daniel 9:27. This is the passage of scripture that everybody's familiar with. This is the one that's been incorporated in end time movies, novels such as Left Behind, all these things. And they get part of it right, but they get part of it wrong. And what's interesting is, we have been traditionally taught, and I wouldn't say traditionally taught, but it's been more widely presented as this Antichrist arises on the scene and he makes a treaty, or he mm-hmm. makes a covenant for, now your Bible will say 1 week, in Hebrew that's 7 years.
Right.
But he makes this treaty. But if you go to Daniel 9:27, what it actually says here is it says that he, and it's speaking of the Antichrist, shall confirm
Come on,
a covenant.
Brother.
So yes. That implies to me, brother, that there is, when this Antichrist comes on the scene, there will already be a covenant
yes.
already in the making. It will be drafted. It will be all presented. All the players will be there. The fine print will be there. And all he does is, this guy, I like to say it like this, the play is all laid out, and now the main character just steps into the play. Mm-hmm. So everything is laid out, and then this guy just shows up on the scene, and he just confirms this covenant with many for 1 week.
And I like to even think that in that confirmation, that confirming of the treaty for 1 week or 7 years, it's almost like he is the force that actually makes it happen, that he brings yes. something to the table, whether it's his charisma, whether it is his connections in kingdom and beast systems that are in place. It's like there was this dream. It's almost, when I read it, it's almost like there's this dream of peace, and they've got it on paper, but nobody can make it happen.
That's
and then
good,
this,
yeah.
And then this guy of power comes in, and he has the charisma and the ability. And I've even, you know, even studying Daniel, you know, I see that it says he will not love the God of his fathers. So mm-hmm. so we know that he's raised in some type of religious home, more than likely some type of touching of Christianity, touching of Muslim, something like that, where he can unite the religions. But, you know, it implies also that he's probably at the very, I'm going to go ahead and say it, at the very least, bisexual, maybe even homosexual. He doesn't have the love of a woman.
He has no regard for women, right?
Yeah. Yep. So it's like, you know, think about all the boxes that he checks nowadays that would make him so amazing to listen to, that he's, you know, got a form of godliness, deny the power thereof. He's affirming of the alphabet world and all of this. And then he's powerful politically. What do you think about the theory that the confirming of that 7 years is maybe he has the charisma and the connections to come in and actually make the wheels turn in this treaty.
Oh, absolutely. I'll get more into this when we get into this article, but another thing that, according to Daniel, that the Antichrist will do is he'll attempt to change laws and seasons. Mm. And that's interesting. He attempts to change these things. The Bible says he comes in, he utters dark sayings. When you study out the manifesto of the Antichrist, he starts out small. He starts out with a small army, but he becomes great. Daniel saw him starting out with a small army. He's the little horn that rises up among the 10. But then you get over into the book of Revelation and John sees 10. Now think about this, church, 10 nations. Mm. Will surrender their entire sovereignty and their power over to the Antichrist in 1 hour's time. Wow. Now, you know what's interesting, Bishop? This is something to chew on. That phrase, that terminology, in 1 hour's time, the 10 kings give their surrender over to the Antichrist 1 hour. That term is also found in the destruction of mystery Babylon, which is destroyed in 1 hour's time.
Yes, yes.
And it's very intriguing. So I absolutely 100% agree with what you're saying. I believe, I like to say it like this, the world is going to be conditioned and ripe for the arrival of the Antichrist. And I will, and then let me interject this. According to what Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica, because Paul identified the Antichrist, there's many different terms and names for him. He's called the prince that is to come, the king of Babylon. He's called the lawless one. And that's what Paul addressed him as in Thessalonica. And he calls him the lawless one that will come. And what's interesting, it says that there's a spirit of lawlessness that will be, it will almost precede the Antichrist. So just like, think about this, as John the Baptist, when he came on the scene, he came in the spirit and the anointing of Elijah that prepared the way for the real Messiah. There's this spirit of lawlessness that is going through the earth. And anybody, and it doesn't take much discernment to figure this out. You can see this going through the earth. This spirit of lawlessness is, I believe, conditioning and preparing the world for the lawless one to come on the scene. So everything is ripe. It's all conditioning, ripe. And you, when you get into this article that Bishop brought up here, I'm not going to read all this, but I want to highlight some stuff out here. And let me go back to Daniel 9:27. It says that the Antichrist comes, he confirms a covenant that's already made. And it says with many. Now, who is the many? I propose to you, the many here is many nations.
Yep. United Nations, you think?
Absolutely. And do you agree with this, Bishop, that the entire focal point of this covenant will be Israel?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. Because that's where, think about it, that's where it begins and that's where it culminates. The whole world, think about this big picture in ETH family, is that it all culminates. The whole world comes into a treaty at the beginning through the Antichrist, and the whole world comes together and turns their guns on Israel at the end and on Jesus Christ. So it's like you can't, these people that want to replacement theology, all this kind of stuff, this ridiculousness that Israel doesn't matter anymore. I know that everybody has to be saved, has to go through Jesus Christ, whether Jew or Gentile. But the reality is this, it's ridiculous to take the nation of Israel out of end time prophecy because there is no end time prophecy without Israel.
They're the fig tree that Jesus mentioned. He said, when you look upon Matthew 24, look upon the fig tree. When its leaves become tender, you know that summer is near. It's even at the door. And look, and I want to say this, is that it's insane that what replacement theology actually teaches the body of Christ, because there's so much false doctrine. If you go to Zechariah 12, it also confirms this. The prophet said, behold, and he's speaking of the Lord, inspiration of the Lord. He talks about Jerusalem will be a cup of drunkenness or a stumbling block to all the surrounding peoples. Now, you look that up in the Hebrew, that's to all the nations. Now, look what their attempt will be. They will lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. Wow. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all the peoples. And you could say all the nations. It does no harm to scripture there. And all who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. So if you don't believe what Brother Ricky said there about the many being the nations, I hope that this will confirm to you through Zechariah that all the nations of the earth, watch this, will eventually, now we're not there yet, but eventually all the nations of the earth, and I would venture to say, depending on what presidency that the United States is under, we could be included in that coming against Israel.
Well, look at this. I want to point this out right here, Ricky. This is the SDG Summit 2023 that at the time of this recording is going to be just a couple of days, and it's at September 18th and 19th in New York, of course, the United Nations. I want everyone to look at this. This is the 17 sustainable goals that has put forth through Agenda 2030. That circle, multicolored circle in the middle, is the logo for Agenda 2030. And they have these sustainable goals that they have said it is their goal to have in place globally by 2030. And they are going to vote on this. And I want to read this to you and get your thoughts. The 2023 SDG Summit will take place on September 18th and 19th in New York. It will mark the beginning of a new phase. And think about what Pastor Ricky is just now saying. It will mark the beginning of a new phase of accelerated progress towards the Sustainable Development Goals, SDG, with high-level political guidance on transformative and accelerated actions leading up to 2030. Now, I'm no math expert, but let's just tell it like it is. That's less than 7 years. And seven is all through Scripture. We know that the tribulation period is 7 years. We know that 1 week in Daniel's weeks is 7 years. We know all of that. I don't think you're saying, I know that I'm not saying that I'm in the middle of the tribulation period now, because this is the way I say it. If this is the tribulation period, it ain't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I mean, it's bad, but because let me tell you something, the tribulation period is bad, and it's going to get bad. And there's this big debate on whether we're going to go through it or not. But here's what I want to ask you is this. So that's 2030. That's less than 7 years from now. I know that you've studied the 17 sustainable goals and basically eating no meat, doing away with all carbon-based vehicles, all this. It's ridiculous. So it has to quickly accelerate. I believe, Ricky, your thoughts, the next 6.5 years is going to be like unlike anything any of us have ever experienced before in our life, because this group of people feel empowered with control. They're power hungry, and they feel like they can force their way into this. And after your comments, I want to come back, and you may even want to answer it in this response as well, is what you think about the fact that at this conference, one of the things they're going to do is attempt to combine all previous treaties into one authoritative treaty. Your thoughts on that?
Well, and there, that's a lot. That's a lot to take in. And what's interesting, this was an actual title of an article, and it was called, quote, now listen to this, "We need 7 years of accelerated transformative action to achieve SDGs." Now, I am not saying that this is the 7-year treaty of Daniel 9:27, but isn't that interesting that this language and this terminology is being used? Now, Could this actually be what we're seeing right here? This Agenda 2030, could this be the, now listen to me real carefully, clean out your ears. Could this be the framework?
Yes.
A blueprint that will establish what the Antichrist, come on somebody, will come along later and affirm, or I'm going to use the language that the prophet used, confirm in place. I don't know. Time will tell, but here's something interesting I want to point out to our audience. Remember at the beginning of the segment, I said that we don't operate on the calendar that God does.
Right.
What's interesting is Bishop brought up that we're entering into Rosh Hashanah, but we're entering into the Feast of Trumpets. Yep, but also, here's something interesting. from September 16th to the 25th, you have what's called the seven major feasts of Israel. We just named one of those. But there's also these minor feasts, and there's these time frames that the people of Israel recognize and they acknowledge. And one of these is called the 40 days of Teshuvah. We talked mm-hmm. about this. I know on our program, we talked about this on Monday evening. And there's 40 days of Teshuvah. Then you enter into what's called the 10 days of awe. Now, it is believed that this is this space of repentance. Right. Watch this, to not only the people, but to the nations of the earth. Well, did you know on our time frame right now, September 16th to the 25th, is when we enter into that 10 days of awe. So then you have the 18th and 19th, which is when this conference is happening.
Yep.
So you've got all these things that are coinciding together. Okay. So as Bishop pointed out, you have all these treaties that's been from the World Economic Forum to former presidents to other world leaders, and they're literally putting them all together under one umbrella, one agenda, which again, that's their terminology. It's called Agenda 2030. So they have an agenda, friends.
And that article that you quoted for the we need seven accelerated years was from the United Nations website. That was not from some YouTuber or something doing art. It was directly from the United Nations website. And let's not forget this, that one of the main things the United Nations has done since its beginning, they voted to form the nation of Israel and then turned right around. And ever since then, treaty after treaty after condemnation, they've never been a pro-Israel vote in the United Nations since the formation of the United Nations and the formation of Israel. So the reality is this: if you're going to combine all these together, and then you're going to take the World Health Organization that they just passed their charter, basically every nation in the world approved it, that gives them the ability in emergency declaration moments, such as the WAN that just went around the world that we've got coming again, to override individual state constitutions, basically giving them global, one world global power. Listen, this is not conspiracy. Everything is happening. That's what Ricky is trying to tell you guys, that right now in the middle of all these feasts, it is not by chance that they would have a conference talking about 7 years. And Jesus said there'll be signs in the heavens, the signs in the earth beneath. These are the signs in the earth beneath. And then if we got time, we'll get to it. Right in the middle of all of it, there's a brand new green comet that's going to be seen by the naked eye flying to right across while all this is going on.
Yeah, we got to get into that. But if you don't mind, just for 2 minutes, can I kick it back over to the Saudi Arabia thing?
Oh, yeah.
Because after all, this is the Middle East, and people are like, well, that's the UN and all that stuff. Well, what many of you guys don't know is right now the Biden administration is brokering peace negotiations between Saudi Arabia and other nations in the Middle East. I'm going to read a little bit of this. Negotiations that are intended to lead to the normalization of relations between Israel. Remember, we talked about the fig tree, the focal point, and Saudi Arabia have already begun. So this is going on. These negotiations are being conducted in the stealth of quietness because they are touching on issues that are extremely sensitive. Now, gee, I wonder what those extreme sensitivity issues would be. Probably the attempt to divide the nation of Israel. Yep. Now, can I refresh your audience for a second? Since we're under a continuation of the Obama administration, I'm just being honest, that's what we're doing. Under Obama's administration, do you realize that he tried to divide the nation of Israel back in 2011?
Yep, sure did.
And did you know that when he got up and he made that presidential address and he basically came out and said that he suggested that Israel go back to the pre-67 borders, suggesting that Israel be divided. Did you know that in that same time frame, a EF5 tornado hit the heartland of America in Joplin, Missouri, and caused destruction?
Yes.
So all this was happening. So here we have this this treaty or this, I want, well, we could say treaty. It's a negotiation going on. They're trying to bring us, according to Axis, the Biden administration has made it abundantly clear to the Israelis that there will be no agreement at all unless they are, quote, willing to make significant concessions to the Palestinians. Now, we know Benjamin Netanyahu is unlikely to agree at all to recognize a full-blown independent Palestinian state, but according to reports, there's another plan that's being floated around that could potentially be acceptable to all parties. This plan was initially conceived by a close confidant of Mohammed bin Salman. And according to the plan, Jordan, Gaza, and the West Bank would be. Now, these, your Bible calls these the ancient high places.
Yes.
This was known as the Hishmite Kingdom of Palestine. Bishop, let me read this. I don't know if you knew this, but if you go to Ezekiel 36, now we know this is the Old Testament book here, and this is dealing with the prophet in Babylonian exile. They went under exile to the Babylonian Empire, but listen to the verbiage here. And you, son of man, because I believe prophecy can repeat itself. I believe
that.
Right. So, because Solomon says that which was is that which shall be, and it, and there's no new thing, no new thing under the sun. Excuse me. Here's what it says, Ezekiel 36. And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God. Listen to this, folks. Because the enemy has said of you, who? The nation of Israel. Aha, the ancient heights have become our possession.
Wow.
And it even says in here that they've been taken up by the lips of talkers and slandered by
the
people.
Think about it.
And now, some say, well, Brother Ricky, what does Saudi Arabia, does Saudi Arabia even play a role in the end times? Absolutely. Here's another little known fact. Daniel 11. If you read it from our westernized Bible, you won't catch this. But if you go to the original Hebrew, it says in Daniel chapter 11, verses 23, I'm going to read this 24. And after the league made with him, there will be a league made with the Antichrist. He shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up. So he will rise up and shall become strong with a small people. Remember, we talked about that earlier. He's not just going to step up. No one's going to accept him if he just steps into the place. He's going to rise to power.
Right. Yes.
Listen to this. Verse 24. Man, this is good right here. He shall enter peaceably. This is why when you go to the book of Revelation, the white horse rider with a bow with no arrows, that's the Antichrist, because he comes in a diplomacy of peace, okay?
Yep, he does.
He shall enter peaceably. Where does he enter? Look at this. He will even enter upon, now here's what your Bible says, the fattest places of the province, and he will do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers, and he shall scatter among them the prey and the spoil and riches. Now, again, two Hebrew words here. The word fattest in Hebrew is oily. And the word province is an interesting word called Medina. So I'm going to read this.
I know where you're going.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He shall enter peaceably even upon the oiliest places or the oily places.
Think about it.
Of Medina. Now, folks, listen, where is Medina? Medina is in Saudi Arabia.
And where is OPEC based? Where is the oil? Where is the whole world? When you think about a Middle Eastern country synonymous with oil, it's Saudi Arabia. I don't know if you know this, but me too. Hey, just this week, the Prince of Saudi Arabia came out and said, the world will know. And I'm paraphrasing, but this is what he said. The world is about to know that the Middle East, with Saudi Arabia at the leader, is about to become the new Europe. He said, we are developing, he literally said that with his own mouth. It's going to become the new Europe, and Saudi Arabia leading the way. Let's not forget that not only is Saudi Arabia involved in prophecy, but they are the number one people building these the line. You know about the line, you know, giant walled city. They're building cities out in the ocean. They are preparing in their mind for millions of people that do not live in Saudi Arabia now to be sent to or brought to, basically imprisoned in these smart cities that they're building in Saudi Arabia in the middle of the desert. Saudi Arabia is on the front lines, and let's not forget this either, big picture, and End Time Headlines family, is this. Saudi Arabia, in this deal, and I'm sure you were probably about to say this, and I might have said it too quick.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
But they, if this deal goes through, they will, by proxy, take over the authority of the Temple Mount, where now it's being run by Jordan, even though Jordan is a totally separate country. Crazy, stupid deal that they did when they come together. Israel and Palestine and all of them agreed to not have Jewish worship on the Temple Mount, but let Jordan police it on the Temple Mount. But this deal would give Saudi Arabia the authority to manage the Temple Mount.
Right, and it's not just the Temple Mount, but it's the Holy Sepulchre. I believe it's the Wailing Wall. There's many sites that they'll get. And listen to this. Remember, everybody's like, well, where's the Antichrist going to come out of? If you study these titles that the Bible gives him, the prophet Daniel called one of the terms for the Antichrist is the prince who is to come. Mm-hmm. Now, you chew on that, Selah. Now, do you want to get into this comet thing? Because I don't know how much time we got. How much time have we got?
Yeah, let's move in that direction, because I do want to talk about signs in the earth, signs in the heavens, and this is right here is happening right before our eyes, a newly discovered green comet. And I think it's interesting that it's green, too. There's a lot to be said about that as well. A green comet, which, you know, if we see a green light, that sort of means go to me. It's almost like this is a sign that something is about to kick into the next level. And this article says it comes around for 400 years, and this is what it's going to actually look like to the naked eye if you get up at the right time. A newly discovered comet is zipping by Earth and is now visible for the first time in more than 400 years. Comet Nishimura was discovered by the Japanese astronomer and named after him. It was first spotted by taking long exposure shots using a Canon digital camera. And it says, when our solar system first formed, huge amounts of debris, blah, 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 blah. But we know that we're going to see this. It says it's getting harder and harder for amateur astronomers to scan the sky because of all the light pollution. But it's very rare. In fact, I believe I read somewhere that this might be one of the easiest to see with the naked eye since the famous Hale-Bopp one that came through, which was just mind-boggling. If you remember that, it was just incredible.
But, I was going to talk about that in a second. Yeah.
Okay. And think about all the things that happened during Hale-Bopp and what they say that happened during its lifespan of every time it came around. So here we have a 400-year sight to see with the naked eye, and even with telescopes, it's going to be amazing. But it's interesting to me that it is green, and it's coming through Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, all the other things that you were talking about, this meeting of the United Nations, this secret deal trying to happen over Israel, and lo and behold, we look up in the sky, in the second heaven, the cosmos, and there is a green comet.
But ever heard of the New Green Deal?
Oh!
Yeah. What?
Think about it.
Or how about this? Here's a little known fact. Some people may know, you may know, but green is also the color of Islam. The mosque in the Middle East, they have the green lights. Muhammad, you see their bands with the green. One of the four horsemen is actually chloros, and it's green. It's a pale green color.
Sure,
and that'd take 30 minutes to develop that. But this comet, the timing of this is impeccable. How it was discovered is absolutely insane. With all the high tech technology we have, the scopes, and he just so happened to just be scanning the sky, and he found it's almost like a movie, like some of these Hollywood movies out there. But here's comets, you know, when we say comets, you know, first of all, Luke 21, there'll be great and fearful sights from heaven. Matthew 24, there'll be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. But the, again, you have all these numerical numbers. The number 400, if you don't know this, the number 400 often represents a period of testing, trial, and judgment. The children of Israel, they were in a bondage in captivity for 400 years and were set out. You go to the book of Judges, there's a period of oppression and judgment that went back and forth at a period over 400 years. The comets are associated with disasters, calamities, and transitions of empires. I'm going to read this real quick. I promise you, you're going to want to come back, bookmark this, save it, subscribe to this channel, because you're going to want to come back, take notes on this. I'm going to read faster than you could take notes, because I got to get all this in here. Ready?
All right, let's go.
Here we go. 4 years prior to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, Josephus wrote in his account that there was a comet that was observed over the city of Jerusalem for a full 12 months or 1 year. Interesting. In 44 BC, there was a comet visible in the sky shortly after the removal of Julius Caesar from power. At his death, there was a comet seen in the heavens for 7 full days. Then you had Halley's Comet in 1066. This comet was seen as a omen by many in England. This also was seen by the conquest of England. And at the death of Julius Caesar, again, some say that this comet was visible through here. Then you have Halley's Comet. This passed through in 12 BC. Now listen to this. Historians went back and discovered that Halley's Comet came through our solar system in 12 BC. Oh, you ready for this? When Herod was expanding the temple platform in Jerusalem.
Wow.
Now, you know, there's talks about the third temple, right? Coming next year in Passover.
Yep.
And then watch this. Then it reappeared in 66 AD, 4 years prior to the destruction of the very same temple.
Temple. Yep.
Wow.
Thank you. Halley's,
Halley's Comet was spotted in 1910, 4 years before the outbreak of World War I. And then it came and it swung through back again in 1988, 4 years before the Gulf War.
Right.
All right. August 9th, 1974, there was a comet. I can't even pronounce this. I'm not even going to try to. There was a comet in our solar system. Listen to this. During this same time frame, all 9 leaders of the European Common Market nations lost their power. So there was a transition again. In 1998, there was what's called Halbop Comet. Appeared 50,000 times brighter than Halley's Comet, was visible on Earth. One researcher noted that the last time that Halbop Comet was seen by those living on the Earth was at the same time when Noah was flood. Building and preparing the ark.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on. Think about it. Think about these. Look, you just think these things are just coming around. They just happen to come. No, they're coming around in specific times. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one that was and is to come. He's not predicting the future, y'all. He is the future. He doesn't exist. He is existence. He has already been there. So when you see a comet come through, when you see this happen, and this happen, nothing happens by chance. Nothing. One of the recurring things that I heard you talking about with all the comets is the temple in Jerusalem. And a lot of them were tied to the temple. One of the things that I'm hearing from intelligence and people on the ground there in Israel is that a part of the deal. You asked the question earlier, what in the world would make Benjamin Netanyahu agree to divide the land? What kind of deal would be made? Don't know if this is true or not, but I've got several people that have been told and have said to me anonymously that part of the deal that Saudi Arabia and some others are negotiating with is exactly what you referred to, permission to rebuild some type of temple, and that it would be the only thing that could ever cause them to say, if you give us a treaty, a contract, an agreement signed by the United Nations, that if we divide this, then you give us rights to go on the Temple Mount and build some form of a temple, that would be the only thing that would cause them to do that. Well, if that's the case, then it's going to be that the case, period, at some point. But when you think about this comet and you think about it coming through, when it's coming through, and there's so much discussion about the temple, and there's so much discussion about this treaty, which is the seedbed for the Antichrist. I think it's just incredible what is happening. I want to remind all of our hosts here that every Thursday night, everybody that's watching here, we have a different guest on our show every Thursday night at the same time, 7 p.m. Central Time. As you see, Pastor Ricky Scaparro is there on the screen because he's the second Thursday of every night, of every week. The first Thursday of the month, I should say, is Pastor Paul Begley. Most of you know him. Second, Ricky Scaparro. The third is the legend Stan Deo, that is just like no other man in the world. And the fourth is Pastor Mark Correll. All four of these men are tremendous, tremendous in their teaching and all that they do. And I also want to remind you as well that if you do not already follow us on Rumble, go to rumble.com/Larry Ragland and follow us there, because we are beginning to get really in some trouble with YouTube at times. And I know you can relate, Ricky. So no. Rumble is becoming a backup, I think, for both of us. So Ricky, let's get back. We've got a few more minutes left, and I want to talk about one other item that you and I talked about that goes with everything that we're saying. With we are prophetically on turbo speed, and one of the things that you're hearing Ricky talk about is the book of Daniel. It's very, very prominent in end time prophecy. You can't study Revelation without Daniel, and you can't understand the Antichrist without Daniel. You can't understand the beast system really fully without Daniel, and so we're bringing understanding that there is a beast system that is in place. It's not coming, it's here. The beast mm-hmm. system is here. And part of that is that's the very famous, the most famous part of the book of Revelation is the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. Okay, everybody wants to talk about the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Is this the mark of the beast? Is that the mark of the beast? I'm more concerned about not the mark of the beast, but what would cause someone to not just take a mark, but worship the image of the beast, because that's what really seals their fate, is not necessarily a tattoo or a chip or whatever. But part of that system is this: United Nations vision of the future is one digital ID to rule us all. And of course, this is, you know, part of what we're talking about with the United Nations. The United Nations recently published three new policy briefs, quote, to provide more detail on certain proposals contained in our common, there's that word again, agenda. The UN Secretary General's vision for the future of global cooperation will be decided at the Summit of the Future in September of 2024. The Summit of the Future. Think about the way they name these things. Right. These briefings, a global digital compact, reforms of the international financial structure, architecture, and the future of outer space governance sets out a course for our future. Wow. So they're going to be meeting to decide the future of the world, but to also decide the future of space governance. So here's the deal. Stan Deo is the expert on this, when we have him on here talking about disclosure. We're not here to debate what people feel about aliens and UFOs and everything. But part of this, part of what we're talking about, Ricky, is we can't forget that for the first time in our life, me and you or anybody's in the existence of this country, they snap their fingers, and all of a sudden people can talk about UFOs now in front of the Congress. And people are whistleblowers talking about all this kind of stuff, that they've got these crafts and all this. And then you tie this in with a beast system. Then you tie this in with, you know, if you believe in any kind of catching away of the saints wherever in the tribulation period, you've got the, you know, you've also got the seedbed of the UFOs and aliens to explain what happened to us. I mean, it's just like, how can anyone not know that we are literally the final generation? So I wanted to get your thought about, you know, the how quickly we are moving in this digital ID, CBDC. You know, people are paying for things in stores with their palm now. It's like, it's not science fiction anymore. It's happening right before our eyes.
Well, I think it's interesting that if you think about every aspect and every angle of what we would call Bible prophecy and the discussion of it, generations ago was more, it was more concealed, more veiled. You had to dig into it. You had to do more research. And it was kind of, for example, things were like kind of veiled and hidden and behind closed doors, where now they're just wide open. For example, you have the ABC community. You have the alphabet community, I guess you want to call it. You know, at one time, this was not widely acceptable. This was not normal. But now this is just, you know, it's right in our face. It's right here. There, all the agendas that we would have to run a fine tooth comb through to try to discover this, to expose it, you don't even need to do that anymore. The Satan is right out in the open. The mark of the beast, the image of the beast. How's this going to come to play? How's this going to come to fruition? Well, now it doesn't even take a Bible scholar to look at this. I mean, it's, look at the, even in the entertainment industry, there was a, and I know some of y'all, listen, I understand, I can read the room. I know our audience, our age here, I'm going to say something that most of us can go over our head, but some of the younger people's going to understand this. Some of these artists, like there's an artist called Doja Cat, I believe it's the name of it. Oh, I don't know if you saw this, but I mean, literally, demonic to the max. It makes, there's no hiding it, there's no veiling it, but it, my point is, this is what I'm trying to tell you, every angle out there, Satan. Now it reminds me, Bishop, in Revelation, where it says when we get into the tribulation, if you think it's bad now, it says that because Satan knows his time is short,
that's what it said,
he's going to come down with great wrath. That's another reason why I know we're not in the tribulation.
Right, exactly.
So in this agenda 2030, in packaged in this among the God only knows how many other treaties and contracts and agendas. It talks about this, what's called a apex body proposal, and they're wanting to actually integrate the G20 with the UN into a body that can be described as an economic security council.
Think about it.
As according to the report, as a vital part of the agenda, there will be a digital connectivity and the establishment of a global digital compact. Described as, this is kind of chilling, a cybernetic organ consisting of digitally connected network of people, entities. You realize that scientists just created an entity in a lab?
And it's that sort of looked like, they, in the article, it said an entity that resembled a human life.
Yeah. Now, if you don't... Right, we could just drop the mic right there and say, if you don't believe we're in times, what more evidence do you need?
That's the days of Noah right there. That's genetic. That's messing with genes and DNA. That's the days of Noah.
All right, 10 seconds here. The policy brief is, for example, explain how digitalization will help to achieve the global goals. The suggestions happen to be very similar to what the World Economic Forum and the PwC prescribed in the report Unlocking Technologies for the Global Goals in 2020. A digital ID is a cornerstone in this work, and it, among other things, seem as a way to reduce poverty. So they got to have these goals.
Oh, it's now, always for your good. Yeah, it's always for you. Yeah, it's going to help you. It's going to reduce poverty. It's going to be safer. Nobody's going to track you. I mean, nobody's going to be able to hack you. It's for you. It's for you. It's for your own good.
Here's what's terrifying. I'm going to give you the quote from Prophecy News Watch where we're drawing this source from. I'm going to read this. Will you get your social protection coverage if you don't comply with the ouchie ouch or other measures introduced to achieve the SDGs? Probably not. This can later be fused with a social credit system and central bank digital currency, that's the CBDC, which is now being introduced and tested in many countries across the world. Now listen to this next part. To receive your daily bread, interesting verbiage here, you have to obey and accept the instructions from the masters that run the show. Now think about this, audience here. If the UN declares a planetary emergency, both of us have talked about this in other programs, this will have severe consequences for our freedoms as we experienced during the last pandemic.
And I want to say this too. Let's don't forget that in it coming right out of all these feasts is the month of October. And the month of October is for many, many years has always been when Rosh Hashanah is and all this. It's just the fall in that area. Mm-hmm. So October is always a season of change. It is a time for the new fiscal year in America and many other countries. It is, and it's quite frankly, it's the time that we celebrate our Elevate Conference that you're coming to, that last I heard you and your wife coming to. It's going to be amazing. But on the opening day of Elevate Conference, think about this, October 4th is the testing of the new alert system. That is the new emergency alert system. And I want everybody
to opt out of it.
You cannot opt out. It doesn't matter if you've opted out of other things, even if you've opted out of Amber Alerts, even if your phone is on silent, it doesn't matter. If your phone's on mute, silent, if you're watching TV, if you listen to the radio, if you got your phone with you, if you got your tablet with you, if you got your computer with you, it doesn't matter. If it is any kind of screen or speaker, everything's gets overridden at 2:20 Eastern, 1:20 Central Time. And I think it's very, very ironic that they are testing a nationwide alert system during the rollout of all of this. And you've talked about October surprises. I've talked about October surprises. They always come. You know, next October will be the big one. That's right before the election. I truly believe, I said on our show Monday night, which, by the way, let me let you know, if you're new to our program, Sandy and I host a two-hour live news show every Monday night at 7 p.m. Central Time right here on The Big Picture, and we cover rapid fire. This last time we had 18 different news articles that we covered in 2 hours from a kingdom perspective. But one of the things that we talked about was in that launching of that alert system I believe, and I said it Monday night, and I'm going to say it again probably as long as I can until October gets here. I believe we're going to have an October surprise this October that will set up the winter months, that will take us through the wah-wah, then the other things, emergency powers that are going to be revealed. It'll take us all the way through December, roll into 2024, and the aftermath of that is what's going to bring the big October surprise and right before the election to try to mess up the election again. But I truly believe that we're on the verge, Ricky, of something life-alternating. We've got just a few minutes left here on the Kingdom Intelligence Report. Pastor Ricky, can you take a couple of minutes looking at that camera and speak some hope into us? Because that's one of the things we always like to end with, is because we just inundate you with all these things, and it can be overwhelming to you. But I believe there might be some people out there struggling with fear, struggling with worry. But we want to let them know that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And maybe you can pray for the viewers, encourage them that it's a privilege to be a part of the final generation.
Absolutely. So I know it's easy to, when you hear all this information, you hear all these reports, it's easy to allow anxiety to creep in and fear and worry and uncertainty. And first of all, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. But I want to remind you, we on this show, we like to talk about past and we bring it to the present. I want to remind you that even in the time of Babylonian captivity, in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and you had these young men, you had Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think about it, church. Here they are. If anybody needed to be anxious and worried and fearful, it would be these guys. But the Bible says, those who know their God shall do great exploits. And here are these four young men, and they were young men. Think about that too. But even in the midst, before they got hot and heavy into captivity. Now, look, am I concerned about our nation? Yes, but I serve a God who's still on the throne. He's still in control. And even if, listen to me, church, even if America, as we know it, went into captivity, I choose to not be afraid, because watch this, the same God, oh, come on, somebody, who was with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he was with them in the midst of this, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of captivity, and God still used them, still promoted them, still blessed them. Look at Joseph. Look at all these individuals in times past that God promoted, used, elevated, and were voices in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the chaos. So, I know we've touched on this many times. We are a remnant. There is a remnant in the earth. And if there was ever a time, I was just reading this in the book of Matthew the other day, and it resonates in my spirit right now, that the harvest is surely plentiful. Mm. And you know what Jesus instructed us to do? He said, there is not a lack of, it's not a lack in the harvest field.
Right, right.
The harvest field is not lacking. He said, but the laborers to go into the harvest field is lacking. So what do we do with this information? What do we do with this revelation? Do we get around everybody and our friends and we impress them with our revelatory nuggets that we've gained? No, we don't do that. We take the information, we take the revelation, and we go into the harvest field, your workplace, your family, your neighborhood, your platform, your pulpit, your whatever that looks like to you, and you proclaim, come on, the kingdom of heaven is at hand in Jesus' name. So that's what I'm going to pray. Do you want us to pray, Bishop?
Yeah, let's pray right now. Go.
Father, I thank you for this word that has gone forth, and it will prosper, and that which is sent forth to do. Lord, I pray that you would encourage the listeners. I pray that you would encourage the recipients of this word today, Lord, that they will not be fearful, they will not be afraid, but they will hear the echoes of Luke 21:28 that told them that when they begin to see all these things taking place and happen in the earth, to look up, lift up their heads, for the redemption is drawing near. Lord, we know that the harvest is plentiful, but Lord, we say we are willing. We are laborers in this harvest. We are those of the Elijah generation that has the spirit and the anointed of Elijah that's going forward and going forth and preparing the way of the Lord for the second return of the Messiah.
Yes.
And Lord, we just thank you. We ask that you would equip us and anoint us to go forth and do great exploits in these last days. And it's in Jesus' name all God's people said, Amen.
If you prayed that prayer, all of heaven is rejoicing right now. When a sinner comes home, if you're a backslider and you rededicate your life, comment down below. Comment in the live chat. Let us know that you prayed that. I'll make sure that Pastor Ricky gets it. It's on his program as well. We're simulcasting this. So if you watch it on End Time Headlines, you watch it on The Big Picture, and you gave your life, comment below and let us know that. And I want to say one more time, if you would like to help our television ministry, you can go to LarryRaglin.com, and you'll see all of the information there. You, for a gift of any amount to help us with our television ministry, in addition to YouTube, you can click on this link or click on the book. And when you do that, we'll take you to a page where you can make a one-time gift there through PayPal, monthly supporters, or even become an annual supporter. And when you do that, for a gift of any amount, you'll get a copy of our brand new book, I See Greatness in You. And that will be a huge blessing to our ministry and to everything that we're doing here. And I tell you, you are a huge blessing to us, Ricky. Thank you for joining us once again on the second Thursday of the month on the Kingdom Intelligence Report here on The Big Picture. Any closing thoughts before we tell everybody to have a good night?
Well, again, I'm always honored, brother, and we're going to have you back on our program as well. I do have a closing thought. If for our audience, for End Time Headlines, for you guys that may be in the Alabama area, if you're interested in coming to the conference, I want Bishop to give you the information where to find his church, the dates, the times, and all that stuff. Because listen, if you're anywhere in the Birmingham, Alabama, or in that region, come out. It's no, right there on your screen right there. It's free.
Yep.
No registration required. We'd love to see you. If some of our partners of End Time Headlines, if you're there, I'd love to just come up to me. I would love to meet you and so on and so forth. So there's the address right there. I guess I can read it for you. It's 5050 Pinson Valley Parkway, and that's Birmingham, Alabama. That's 35215 or 35215. Again, that's the Elevate Conference, and that's going to be at Solid Rock Church with our very own Bishop Larry Ragland as the leading pastor there. So I'm excited because we're going to have a great time. And the next time we come together, and hopefully we can broadcast live our next segment together in the same room. Wouldn't that, be awesome?
That would be awesome right here in my studio where I'm sitting today. Wouldn't that be awesome? And you know, and I know that you and your folks love Pastor Paul Begley. He will also be with us that Sunday. So if anybody wants to come to the conference, the 4th, 5th, and 6th, to hear Miles Rutherford, Rod Parsley, Mike Signorelli, and then hang out throughout the weekend, you know, that Sunday on October 8th, none other than Pastor Paul Begley will be preaching at Solid Rock Church. So it's going to be a power-packed 4 days there, 5 days, and it's just going to be incredible. So thank you again, Ricky, for joining us on The Big Picture and all the end-time headlines, folks. We love you guys so much. We appreciate you from the bottom of our heart, and thank you for loaning Pastor Ricky to us. And I want to say to the Big Picture family, you are such a blessing to us. Thank you for all the active folks in the live chat, all the comments below. Share this broadcast. Hit the like button. Subscribe. And always remember, no matter what day or night of the week here on The Big Picture, we ain't woke, but we are certainly awake. We'll see you next time. God bless.